comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Let's get rid of all that background noise. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here for a very specific reason. It is because you have a right to know, and you have a right to know because you matter. Because of that, we do all kinds of things here to try and provide information, and information about truly important things. Now, for some people, UFOs, extraterrestrials, paranormal phenomena, for some folks, that's they're interested in it just because it's a curiosity for them. While the mushrooms debate as to whether these things are real, I mean, they debate it in right in front of great, great, huge, gigantic, mountainous piles of evidence. While they do that, and they're trying to decide whether it's real or not, we are here informing and reporting about the things that truly are real. By that, here's what I mean. How real is something that lasts this long? Not very. And that's about how long you and I last. We're here for a flicker, and we're gone. And yet, paranormal phenomena, UFOs, extraterrestrials, have been interacting with this planet for literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. And we have recorded evidence of that, documented evidence of that. So we're all about the really real stuff. One of the things that we do, an idea that we came up with that we've been doing now, this will be the fourth month we've done it, is called the Alternative Universe Eye Conference. Now, the Alternative Universe Eye Conference is designed specifically for you. And that means everything about it is designed to make it absolutely affordable and reachable for virtually everybody. $10, that's what it costs. What we are presenting in these conferences are some of the top names, as well as some that you may not have heard of, but they are top researchers in these fields that we talk about. And they bring to you something you have not heard from them before. In each of these conferences, the part of the deal with the Alternative Universe Eye Conference is that these speakers must present to you something they've not presented in any of their public appearances, either on radio, television, or in a conference somewhere, something new for you. And so, it is totally designed for you from start to finish. Click that gigantic link that says Alternative Universe Eye Conference. It's on my website. Get your ticket, $10. Stop sitting in the dark. We will be back right after this. All right. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is someone that has not been with us before. This is his first time to be with us here at the Kevin Smith Show, and I am delighted he is here. You have heard, no doubt, over the years, of the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse. Well, this is the founder of that. His name is Dave Aaron. And Dave, welcome to the show. We're delighted to have you.
Well, Kevin, it's an honor to be on your show. And few people know you are the largest UFO show in the entire world.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. Nothing like starting at the top, Dave. All right,
well,
now...
I started with one VCR and ended up having over 150.
Yeah, and you started with no members, and for the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse, and ended up with over 100,000 in 23 countries.
Yes, so, I found out the hard way that there's different formats. There's the NTSC format used in America, but people in Europe use the PAL format, mm-hmm. and I had to get a converter. It was an amazing idea that I just got mad because everything was covered up, and so many people had not seen a UFO that I thought, why not, if people ever filmed a video, a UFO, or shot one on videotape, why couldn't all these videotapes come to a central place where I could share them with the rest of the world? And it exceeded beyond my expectations, all the way to working on major motion pictures and television shows.
Well, let's go back to 1964, Dave, how all of this kind of began. You had a big event that took place in your life in 1964. Tell us about that.
Well, the day was February 9th, 1964. It was the night that the Beatles were first on the Ed Sullivan Show. So most of the people were inside watching the Ed Sullivan Show. And I was working on an old Voice of Music audio reel-to-reel recorder that had a clacking sound to it. And I had the motor and the belts and everything laying on my lap. And my dad yelled from the front room, "Come here, quick, quick." So I dropped everything. I thought my dad was having a heart attack or something. And he said, "What's this?" And we stepped out on the patio, and here is this falling leaf orange light coming out of the sky, like a star, but maybe four or five times bigger. And it's falling and falling and falling, back and forth, back and forth. It comes about 100 feet above the patio and flips over, and like it owned the city, comes and lands in a field that today is the Pomona Freeway. So my dad says, "Oh, it's a helicopter or a plane or something that crashed." So we ran out to the field, and then this merry-go-round of lights up on it, and I run up to it and say, "Do you guys need any help? Do you need any help?" And this, it's really hard to describe, but kind of like in the Terminator movie, the side of it turned to liquid mercury, and the best I can describe it, this beam shot out of it and moved me about 80 feet away from it, and we sat and watched it for about 45 minutes. In the meantime, my dad says, wait, son, it's one of those UFO things. And the police came about 45 minutes later. The object took off, it made no noise, totally silent, perfectly round, perfectly dish-shaped with a cupola on top. It had a rotating rim of lights that were not flashing and not blinking, but pulsing. There was a series of squares around it. So if the first square was red, and it would pulse brighter, 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 red, 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 then the next square would pulse orange, 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 then the next square would pulse yellow, 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 and it went in a circular pattern, which was the exact color of the spectrum, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. It was so hypnotic, Kevin, you could not take your eyes off of it. So the police came, they said they had reports from all over the area that night, and that it's just a mystery. I went back a month later to read the police report, and it said the object that my father and I witnessed that night, quote, must have been a silent helicopter. That infuriated me, it just infuriated me. Helicopters are not round, they're not dish-shaped, and they're not silent. So anyway, years later, that was in 64.
Okay, well, before we go to years later, let me ask a question.
78.
All right, hang on, let me ask a question.
I got the idea that...
All right, Dave, you're going to have to listen. Let me ask a question here. Did the police see this object? When they came out to the site where you and your dad were watching this, did they see this object?
No, because the object took off towards the town of Whittier just as silent as can be. It didn't zoom. It didn't fly off at breakneck speed. It just lifted up about 200 or 300 feet. And just flew over the Whittier Hills and went towards Whittier. And then we're getting all kind of reports from Whittier. But the only place we know that it landed was there in Hacienda Heights, California.
Okay, now, you started to say years later something happened.
Well, years later, in 1978, the Sony Corporation invented the Betamax video recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one. I had what was known as a 1911. It had a built-in Trinitron tube. And I remember watching a television movie called UFOs It Has Begun, which was about the Holloman Air Force Base landing. And they supposedly gave a gentleman whose name escapes me right now, I'm sure one of your listeners can pull it up, 200 feet of film to recreate the action, to actually show UFO footage and the meeting with these aliens at Holloman Air Force Base. That man's name, by the way, was Robert Emmenager.
Yes.
And if you Google Robert Emmenager, you'll see my story is right on track. And the government was going to release all the information except President Nixon decided to resign at that time because of the Watergate scandal. And the higher-ups of the government decided that our country couldn't handle two crises at once, the president resigning and that there were actual aliens and UFOs. So they asked Mr. Emmenager to return all his film. He returned it all except for 17 seconds that's actually in the end of that footage in that film. And that film is on the Internet. UFOs It Has Begun, and it has another title called UFOs Past, Present, and Future, where they also added cattle mutilations into the film.
So when did you begin the UFO audio and video clearinghouse?
That started in 1986, because by that time I was so aggravated with everything was either Venus, Jupiter, swamp gas, and it couldn't be because I saw one. I was 6 feet away from it. It was round. It was dish-shaped. It was the length of two Greyhound bus scenic cruisers. And that's when it started, in 1986. Our first catalog cabinet was only 3 pages of stuff that I had personally collected. By the time we were done, it was over 255 pages, single-space typed, with over 4,600 UFO video incidents.
So,
I need to thank the public out there because 50% of it I found and 50% of it was freely donated. And if you listeners after the show or just before the show ends, we'll give them a site on the Internet where they can see some of the greatest footage I received.
Okay, so how did this work with the UFO audio video clearinghouse? People from all over the world would send you their video, and then what did you do?
Well, no, I didn't ask for any videos. It was just what I had. I had about, maybe I had about 60 different clips that were on the old Betamax format. That I put on the list, put ads in UFO magazine. At that time, there were many, many more magazines than there are today. There was UFO Library, UFO Magazine, well done by Don Ecker and Vicki Cooper, who may have been on guests on your show in the past. There was The Big Reel. There was like maybe about 20 or 30 UFO magazines. And we put ads in every one of those magazines including the Hollywood Reporter, that were just a business-sized ad that said, join the UFO audio-video clearinghouse if you've never seen a UFO. And the response, Kevin, I would get mailbags, two or three mailbags at a time after about 90 days. And people would write to me saying, not only had we seen a UFO, but we also videotaped it. And people in this phenomenon are just so kind. We all stick together that I got some of the most incredible UFO footage, the most incredible UFO audio tapes that were just mind-blowing, even surprised me.
Yeah, okay, so people from all over the world were sending you UFO videos, and then what did you do with them? What did the clearinghouse do?
Well, we had to watch each one of them. Some of them came in the PAL format from Europe, and we had to send those to a place in Ohio that would transfer them. I mean, we got tapes from Israel, Greece, Pakistan, Japan, of course, is the NTSC American format, Guatemala, Philippines, and we would watch them, catalog them, and then put a one-page line of what was on the tape, who shot it, and the running time. So if something, a clip only lasted 10 minutes, the customer could order up to 2 hours, 2.5 hours of videotape for $25, and we would include the postage with that. And you got to remember, in those days, a blank tape was $10. It wasn't 99 cents like it is today.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so what you were doing was making the footage available to anybody that wanted to purchase the footage, right?
Well, they would choose up to 2.5 hours of running time, because in some cases there was a station break or a commercial that we would lift off the tape, the master tape, so the customer chose 2.5 hours, which would edit into 2 hours.
And the point is, the people would then pay you to get 2 to 2.5 hours of tape that had UFOs on it, right?
It would pay for the printing of the catalog. Plus, it would allow people to see a UFO that never saw a UFO. Mm-hmm. And if they chose 20 different sightings or 50 different sightings and it would fit on the tape, we would custom edit each tape for whatever the customer chose.
So you wound up with thousands of hours of footage of UFOs from all over the world. So a person could look in your catalog, select from the catalog what he wanted on that tape, and you would pull those and put them on to the tape and then mail it to them, right?
Exactly right. And whenever updates came and we had more footage, whenever somebody ordered something, we would throw those update pages in there. So every member always was updated as to, you know, what the latest footage was. As we got more and more footage in, we would update the catalog. And it's funny, that little idea, which was just not to make any money, because we made very little money when you take the cost of, you know, the VCRs, the monitors we needed, the televisions we needed to see, you know, 5, 10, 15 video recorders running at one time. Remember, it took one video recorder to play the master and a second video recorder to make the dub. And sometimes we would have 20, 30, 40 VCRs going at one time. And from that, which was just an idea, just to share UFO footage, to get to the bottom of this, I eventually worked on movies for... I worked on the Roswell movie. I worked on many shows for Hard Copy. I did Alien Encounters for the New Tomorrowland from Disney, because there was no place where you could go and find UFO footage for research purposes, and I never had any idea that the big media people would be calling on me, let alone ending up with my own television show. So for you people out there that are listening all over the world, you never know. If you have an idea, follow it through.
We've got about 3 minutes here till we have to go to break. Let's talk about you wound up with your own television show. Tell us about that. What was it called?
Well, there was a television show called Friends that NBC did, which was a, you know, NBC smash hit. And the producer of Friends was also watching. I actually have to backtrack a little bit. There was something called the National Public Access Satellite that was up in 1986, and a guy called me and said that he had free space on the transponder, and for $50, if I had a three-quarter or U-matic recorder, which I did have for broadcast, that he would let me do a television show for $50 a week. And I said, well, how do I do it? He says, just mail me the three-quarter tape. We'll beam it up to satellite. And these were the days of the big backyard dishes where everybody was getting free signals off of satellites. And we sent him the show, and he was so impressed with the show that instead of airing it one time a week, he aired it three times a week. And Todd Stevens, the producer of Friends, saw my show. So he came all the way to Yucaipa from Hollywood with his co-producer, Arthur Maturo, and said, we want you on this show called Weird TV. And I go, God, you know, I can't drive all the way to Hollywood. I mean, it's too much, you know. And he says, we'll send a limo for you. You bring the footage, and we'll give you a 15-minute section called Video Days UFO Clip of the Week. And that really, really opened the floodgates. Because we were beating out Saturday Night Live and some of the top network shows, not only on my section, but the entire concept. It was the first show ever broadcast that was done with a home video recorder. Arthur Maturo and Todd Stevens went out and bought the best Canon analog video camera you could buy. And from that, that's a little bit of history. That was the very first show on UPN Network that actually broadcast a television show done with a home television, a home format video camera.
Kind of the very first reality show, huh? All right, we have to step away for a break, and when we come back from this break, we'll continue talking with our guest this evening, who is, of course, Dave Aaron. And Dave is the founder of the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse. Some of you have probably ordered video from the clearinghouse. There are parts of this story we haven't gotten to yet, folks, and there are a couple of parts of this story that are really very compelling. We'll get to that on the other side of this break.
Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth.
All right, welcome back. We are talking this evening with Dave Aaron, and he is the founder of the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse. Been around since, I believe he said, 1986. And Dave, I want to go back just for a moment to the event that took place in 1964, this UFO landing that you and your father witnessed. You ran up to about 6 feet from the thing, and then you were pushed back by a beam of light. Now, for quite some time, I believe you had a mark on your side or on your abdomen where this light had hit you. Did that persist, or has it gone away now?
Now, that area looks like a really bad sunburn, and no hair will grow in that area. And, you know, if you go through UFO research, and I've probably read every book, there are many, many cases of that throughout UFO history from all over the world. But in 1964, Kevin, you got to remember that the government was extremely mum that all these things were Venus, were misinterpretation of known objects, swamp gas. So when you tell the police that I was burned by this thing, and, you know, and no hair will grow, and helicopters don't do that, it was a mystery until more and more people, and of course the biggest thing, of course, is people like you and the internet, where we have real freedom of speech to really open this UFO situation wide open with all the incredible cases, not only mine.
Unfortunately, that freedom of speech is in grave danger, as our government at the moment is, they've tried twice to govern the internet, and that the bills did not pass, and now they are considering yielding sovereignty of the internet in the United States to the United Nations. So they haven't done it yet, but they are considering it. And so if that happens...
That is news to me. I did not know that.
Yeah.
The United Nations is going to take over the internet?
Yeah.
I wonder how much of that has... You know, I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but on the entire internet, the number one site on the internet are porno sites.
Mm-hmm.
The number two amount of sites on the internet are UFO sites.
That's right.
The number three amount of sites on the internet are gambling sites.
Mm-hmm.
So we're right up there at number two with like 27 million UFO sites. Everything from Jim's NASA space agency, to latest UFO sightings, to the Kevin Smith Show, to Don Ecker's Dark Matters. And I think this is one of the keys as to why they may want to close down the internet. The secret government does not want this out.
Well, they don't want to close it. They want to control it. And, you know, the CIA and Google have gone into a joint venture funding a brand new company and a brand new technology that scours the internet every second of every day and uses information on each and every person who goes on the internet. I don't care where you go on the internet. I don't care what you think you're doing to hide from them. And it uses that to predict future crimes.
Are you familiar with a group known as the Brown Berets?
Yes. I've heard of them.
The Brown Berets, for your listeners that aren't familiar with it, is, let's say for an example, that in Bakersfield, and I believe it was 1981, a stealth fighter, Bakersfield is a city outside of Los Angeles, a stealth fighter crashed there. And, of course, the area was cordoned off. On the very far other side of town, a large warehouse caught on fire. And this was deliberately set by a secret group inside the government known as the Brown Berets. The reason that was done was so all the fire departments and all the police went to the warehouse fire where the government could try to secretly get this stealth fighter packed up and put away and the fire out from their own fire department. Unfortunately, too many helicopters flew over the area, and that's how we know about the stealth fighter. And the same thing is true with the Roswell case on how Stanton Friedman broke the story.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, there were no Brown Berets just for that reason. Now we have this team that, you know, one of the nice things about the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse is I had people pretty high up in the government that told me some amazing, amazing stories and cases.
All right, now you you amassed thousands, tens of thousands of hours of video of UFOs This is video shot by people all over the world with their own video cameras. And so you were running this clearinghouse, and we've been talking about it in past tense. What happened?
What happened was that there were so many, really hundreds of thousands. My dad used to love to go into places like Walmart or the local CVS pharmacy and say, yes, I'd like to buy your videotapes. How many do you have? And they'd say, oh, 900. And he'd go, I'd take them all, you know. So today, in 2012, probably about 85% of what we put out to customers is now on the Internet. A lot of those were just added into documentaries that didn't ask any permission, mm-hmm. including even Paramount Pictures stole our footage. There's a show called Movie and TV Stars Who Have Seen a UFO. We originally sold that footage to the Walt Disney Company, and frame for frame, UFO for UFO, it was the exact footage that Disney paid us for when we opened Alien Encounters from the New Tomorrowland, and also the documentary by the same name, which is on the Internet.
Yeah, but something happened to your collection of videos, didn't it? Wasn't there some kind of great calamity at your place?
No, the videos were saved. Mm. The audio tapes were destroyed. If you go, if listeners go and do a Google search, SETI destroys rare UFO audio tapes. On Monday, my former girlfriend said that she had to move from the house she was living in, which was my house. I let her stay there because she had no place to go, and said, I have to move. I can't pay the property taxes. So we agreed to meet on Friday. On Friday, I went to the house to move all the audio tapes, and there were all these men there with antibacterial suits on, and I said, wait, you're destroying 60 years of rare audio tapes going back six. And they said that they were under orders, and if I didn't get out of there, they would shoot me. I told the story to many people. It hit the Internet. A lot of people don't believe the story, and I don't blame them. I took a number of photos that I sent to you via a JPEG file. You should have those pictures that I took. This was after I went to the police department. And what we had on those audio tapes would make the hair stand up on the singers that these rock and roll singers that have real life. Even Howard Stern's hair would stand up. We had audio tapes of control towers, the people begging to land at Area 51, and the guy says, I don't care if your engines are all out, you're not going to land here. And the pilot would say, but my fuel is low, it's raining, my windshield is broken, I need to land. And they said, sorry, you have to land on the desert. Do a crash landing. We'll rescue you. But you're not going to land at Area 51. We had other audio tapes from the very first Barney and Betty Hill interview done on KTTV before the video recorder was invented. All destroyed. So it turned out that my girlfriend was found dead on Tuesday. The conversation took place on Monday. On Friday, when I go to the house, my neighbors tell me that there's a huge dumpster there, and they're throwing all the audio tapes into a dumpster. And, you know, Kevin, that is lost in history. And I can't say that it was done deliberately. I can say that maybe Vector Control thought that the house was in bad shape, but no matter what, the tapes were destroyed, the audio tapes were destroyed, and I was threatened with my life.
But who were these people?
My car window to take those pictures that I sent you.
Who were these people in these biohazard suits?
Well, at first when I went to the Calamasa, California Police Department, which was a Friday because City Hall was closed due to budget restraints, there was only one officer on duty, and he told me he knew about the situation but he was not allowed to interfere. And I said, well, who ordered these people there? And he said, code enforcement from the city. And I said, well, we've got to get to code enforcement. There's the world's rarest audio collection of UFO audio tapes there, from Mothman on the radio to the KFGL Roswell interview with Mac Braswell from 1947, to Donald E. Kehoe's Armstrong Circle Theater when they cut him off the air in 1958. I says, you can't let these tapes be destroyed. And he said, I'm sorry, it's out of my hands, sir. So the only thing I could do is I went back there, despite the threat, and I took as many still photos as I could. I actually tried to take video, but when I took the video, I was threatened and I left. But I came back because I had to mark that down for history. So whatever people think, I really don't care. The still photos are there. You've seen the men in the antibacterial suits. You saw the pictures of the dumpsters. You were able to open those JPEG files okay, weren't you, Kevin?
Yes, and the audience has seen one of the pictures as you were talking. All right, now, you said your girlfriend was found dead. How does that relate to what was going on there? What happened?
I can't answer that fully. I can only tell you that I did a complete investigation. I called the coroner. The first thing the coroner told me was that she died of blunt force trauma on Tuesday, the day after I phoned her. Oh, she phoned me. She phoned me on a Monday to meet her on Friday. She was found dead on Tuesday, but I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the house on Friday, and the neighbors on that cul-de-sac street told me that Sherry was found dead. So I called up the coroner, and the coroner said, yeah, we were pretty sure she died of blunt force trauma. And I says, well, send me the autopsy. And he says, oh, no, we can't send you that for at least 9 months. I go, 9 months? Why does it take 9 months to get an autopsy? And they said, well, we're San Bernardino County, the largest county in the state of California, and we just have a lot of autopsies to do. Then the next thing they told me was that, the officer Griswold of the Yucaipa Police Department, that's Griswold, just like the Griswolds from the National Lampoon movies, he said that she died because a box fell on her head.
Okay, we have to step away for a break, and we'll pick up there when we come back. The price to be in UFO research can be high. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Dave Aaron, founder of the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse. And Dave, as we went to break, I made the comment that being involved in UFO research and investigation, the cost can be high, very high, and you've experienced that. So let's talk about this. What was the date of this event where this home invasion by the guys in the bio suits?
It'll be 1 year ago tomorrow. It'll be 1 year ago next month. And I believe the date was July 18th, 2011. But, you know, my mother had died 2 weeks prior to that. So my mother died 2 weeks prior to that. She was 90 years old. 2 weeks later, my girlfriend dies. And then all the audio tapes are destroyed. So I almost went into a full month of deep, deep depression. So it took quite a while for me to get out of it, almost 3 months. But I got up. got back on the internet. I do want to tell you one thing, Kevin, that's important, and I need to thank Mike Crystal out there in Kentucky, because I know he's the one that got me on your show and said, don't waste your time with these people that cut you off the air, which happened last Friday. He said, you've got to go on the Kevin Smith Show. On this month, June 29th, we just completed an 8-part, 2-year-in-the-making special for the National Geographic Channel called UFOs Throughout America. So I want to make sure that all your listeners know that there'll be an 8-part special on June 29th, 1 hour a night for the next 2 months, every Friday. So I want to make sure you got the first scoop on that.
Outstanding. We'll look forward to that. All right, now I want to go back to the the ransacking of your home. What we can see, those who are watching our TV channel, we see the house, we see a white van backed up into the driveway, we see lots of stuff piled out in the front yard, and then there is this big container. Now by container I'm talking about, you know, it's a big square box they bring on a truck and leave there on the street, and it's on the street. And if we look up inside, we can see there is one of these people up inside with a white bio suit on. Did they ever tell you what the biological hazard was there?
Yes, they told me, the coroner told me, that because my girlfriend had passed away and she had cats that died inside the house, that there was a possibility that the dead cats and her dead body may have caused some type of bacteria in the house. I just find it amazing that it happened exactly 24 hours after I phoned her. She died on Tuesday, and the tapes were destroyed on the day I was supposed to pick them up on Friday. Now, I'm not saying that the CIA or the NSA or the NRO was there. I'm just saying it's really an amazing coincidence.
Yeah, it's a little bit beyond amazing. I mean, it could be a coincidence.
Kevin Randall investigated this, the famous author, and also Kevin Randall, the movie Roswell, was based on Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt's book. And when I told them that I heard the actual recording from KGFL, we had it in 1947 and probably sold maybe 20 or 30 copies, and what did it say? You know, I told them that I did not have time to listen to every single of the thousands of tapes we would get in, you know, per year, and I would listen to maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt thought a copy of the movie of the actual recreation of the interview from Roswell. The only problem was that I got a letter from a guy in a little town outside of Roswell that recorded that interview on a wire recorder, and he transferred it for me on audio tape. Mm-hmm. And he said, you'll find this interesting, this is an interview of Mac Brazel on KGFL. It turned out that KGFL did have an audio recorder there. I'm sorry, a wire recorder there. Mm-hmm. And because Don Schmidt and Kevin Randall could never find a copy of this actual recording, doesn't mean that we weren't mailed a copy of it. And I heard it. I mean, I heard the guy saying, and you could tell a wire recorder because there was no stereo. It was just one solid recording on a wire, sounding like something that was broadcast in 1929 or 1930. And we heard the old tin microphone and everything. And I went, okay, put that in the catalog. UFO, Roswell interview, Mac Braswell and Walt Whitmore, KGFL 1947. And what happened was also at that house, all the negatives that we ran our catalog from, the plates that they would run our 200-page catalog from, mm-hmm. were all destroyed. So I can't even prove we had a catalog, except for listeners out there. about 5,000 to 20,000 that actually have our latest updated catalog, which will probably show like on page 220 in the audio section, the KGFL recording, and we're trying to get a hold of that. But you know what? Even if we get a hold of it, no television station will play it. The internet will play it, like a show like yours, but we called a couple of television stations. I'm very close with the Fox Network, as you saw on the internet, where we did a number of interviews with Fox Television. And,
well, let me tell you, we're not...
We can't touch that.
Let me correct something here. We're not an internet radio station. We are a international talk show, and it's delivered via internet, AM, FM, shortwave. I think they're still broadcasting. All mobile devices and internet television. So what happens if the point is it's not going out. What we're saying is not going out just on the internet tonight. There are AM and FM stations broadcasting it as well.
I corrected myself also. Is what I meant was that AM radio, FM radio, the word radio, the word internet radio, the word internet, AM radio, AM talk radio, FM radio, these are still the last bastions of free speech. Then you put up a real huge 300-foot brick wall that stretches all across the world, and that other side of that wall is television. CNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNN, MSNBC. They'll give you ha-ha pieces, but they won't go to the throat of the matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that's true. That is true. Now, you said you got cut off. You were on a show and you got cut off last Friday. I'm not going to ask you to tell us the name of the show, and we do have to step away for break here in about a minute. Don't tell us the name of the show, but in a minute, give us a one-minute version of what happened.
Well, actually, we can give you the name of the
show. No, I don't want you to give me the name of the show. No. I do not want you to tell us the name of the show.
All right.
Okay. The floor is yours. Just tell us what happened without telling us the name of the show.
Oh, I thought we had to go to break. How much time do I have?
You're burning time now. Tell us what happened.
Well, the owner of this radio station that owns two radio stations, one in Texas and one here in California, that I have been friends with, asked me to promote a show and to start the conversation about the National Geographic UFO special that's going to be on. And we got into about 45 seconds of the show, and I mentioned, you know, to be sure and tune in to this special. And the guy at the other end says, I don't have time to listen to people that promote their own show. I wasn't promoting my own show. I was promoting to the listeners that there's going to be an 8-part special on the National Geographic Channel starting June 29th. So sometimes some announcers just don't listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... Not only do announcers not listen,
and because I worked on this 8-part special, maybe he felt slighted, and the whole thing was really a plan between the radio station owner and myself to get this guy's ratings up, not mine. So we were promoting his show by talking about UFOs, and he thought I was promoting my show.
Well, not only do hosts of shows not listen very often, that's the case. You know, it's a national tragedy. People are not listening all over the country. People are not paying attention. They hear what they want to hear regardless of what's actually said. Ah, well, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and I want to welcome those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Now, my sincere sympathies to you for whatever it is that kept you away for that first hour. We're talking with Dave Aaron. He is the founder of UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse. He himself has a very compelling account of a UFO landing that he and his father witnessed. He himself ran right up within about 6 feet of this UFO. This happened back in 1964, and a beam of light came out and pushed him backward about 80 feet. And then the UFO took off. But we've been talking about his work with the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse and the amazing and disturbing tragedy or disaster that took place, wherein the rarest collection of UFO audio tapes, it was destroyed. Now, Dave, whenever that took place, and the neighbor said, well, all the audio tapes are over in that trash bin, were you able to rescue any of the tapes out of the trash bin?
No, at that time I was threatened that I'd be shot if I stepped on the property. So obviously I wasn't going to sit around there. I had a Sony video camera in my hand, and one of those men told me to get out of there or I'd be shot. So I went to the police department, as I had mentioned during the first hour of the show. The police department was absolutely no help. One police officer was on duty in the town, and I said, I've got to get this. I've got to get something, evidence, something. And that's why I went. Those pictures were taken, by the way, from in my car, with the exception of the one where I ran up to the dumpster. And you'll see the other ones were taken from pretty far away, like at the corner of the street, you know. So at least I can prove that I do have those photos. And, you know, the whole UFO phenomena, going back to, you know, the actual first crash of a UFO was in 1941 in the United States. It wasn't the Roswell crash. It was known as the Missouri crash. I don't know if you know about that. But a preacher gave last rites to gray beings with big, large heads and black eyes. Are you aware of the Missouri case at all?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you could probably Google that. That was the very first UFO crash. But, of course, in 1941, we were deep in World War II, and most of the radio stations were telling people to buy bonds. You know?
Yeah. All right, so when you got to the police station, and you asked, well, who are these people? And he said, well, he was aware of the situation, but it was out of his hands. There was nothing he could do about it. And you said, well, who are these people? And he said it was code enforcement. Is it, and now you're in California, is it normal for code enforcement people to carry guns and threaten to kill you?
Not that I know of. Not that I ever heard of, no. And that's why I couldn't understand, you know, what we have here is, in my personal opinion, a batch of misinformation, right? Somebody knew something. I told my girlfriend on Monday that she said to come and pick up the tapes. She dies on Tuesday. I go there on Friday. You know, I'm told there's a big red sign, too, on the house saying, you know, do not enter, you know. By orders of the city of Calamasa, I talked to code enforcement over and over and over. There's a nice young lady, innocent, that works there. She's just doing her job. Maybe she's in her 30s. One young lady. And I ask, who ordered this? Who ordered these people to go there on that day? And she said, all I can tell you is that Wells Fargo got a phone call from somebody to go there and order the house cleaned out. And she says, I can't tell you anymore, Dave, I'm sorry. And this girl was just doing her job, so we really can't blame her. But she did take a bunch of photos, And I said, can I have a copy of those photos? And she said, no, you have to go and get a court order. So that was really strange, too. If she took photos of the house and those guys in those antibacterial suits, she said I could see the photos, but I couldn't have a copy of them. So that adds more mystery to it, Kevin.
Why was Wells Fargo involved in this?
To make it look, or maybe it did look, like they were taking over the house. Because my girlfriend could not pay the property taxes on the house.
Okay.
See, she had two children, and she was diabetic and had heart trouble. I paid for all her medicine and everything, and I let her have that house. And I moved into a much bigger house, in fact, that looks like a UFO that was built up in the hills in Yucaipa, California. But the audio tapes, I just never had a chance to move. And they were stored in that garage, you know, until she couldn't pay that property, those property taxes, and had to move. Mm-hmm. But of course, she never moved because she died before she had the chance. So, I don't want the listeners out there to think that, you know, the CIA or the NSA is behind every tree. I would just leave it as coincidence, but a very strange coincidence.
Well, I wouldn't point the finger at CIA or NSA or NRO or any of those guys because we don't know. But I would say I don't know if code enforcement people anywhere in the country that carry guns and threaten to shoot you if you step onto your own property.
Well, now code enforcement called Wells Fargo Bank. Wells Fargo Bank made a call to these people. And whoever these people were, these were the people that came to the house. So that's as much as I can tell you. There is a very well site there called topsecretwriters.com. But it's real easy to find the complete story by just doing a Google search by Googling or Binging. Town destroys rare UFO audio tapes. What was only one site, I think, is now four.
All right, you and I will continue talking, but now I want to invite our audience to join the conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment for Dave Aaron, then you need to call us. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, then you can call that number. But if you're outside of the USA and Canada, it can be pretty expensive to make that international call. So we have an additional option for you. And it is called the Flash Message. And the way it works is you go over to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show. And right above that picture about tonight's show, you will see a link that says Flash Message. So click that. You can send me your question or comment that way. Now, we do have a flash message that came in from Ben in the UK, but it's not about the show. Ben, send me that message. Just go to my site, click on Contact, and select Suggestion or Listener Comment, either one, and send me that message that way, okay? Is the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse still in business?
Yes, we're still in the process of converting over 4,500 videotapes to the digital DVD format, and we've been working on this for over a year, and you'll see a lot of our footage like on latest-ufo-sightings.com, and a lot of the documentaries that are on the internet. So yes, we're still in business, we're still going strong, But we really specialize now in just letting everybody watch it for free on the Internet.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, first of all, Mr. Aaron, I want to thank you for your years of service to this important endeavor that you've given your life to, obviously. You've given your entire adult life to this, and to have it taken from you like that, I just can't imagine the mental and emotional jolt that would have, and my heart definitely goes out to you. I want to ask, did your girlfriend, she was actually living in that house on that Monday that she called you?
Yes, on the Monday she called me, she was living in the house. But her body was found in a house in Mentone, California, which is about 11 miles away from the house.
Well, was your name still on the mortgage to that house?
No, I signed the house over to her and a producer from the show Ugly Betty. Do you remember the television show Ugly Betty?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the producer from the television show Ugly Betty also, I'm sorry, he wasn't a producer, he was a grip. He also lived out in this area, and he said that he would remodel and fix up the house, and my ex-girlfriend and him would split the profit. But he ran off with all the money. He remortgaged the house and left her and married some lady and put her three kids through college. I mean, Kevin, I can't give you 35 years of history of the UFO audio video clearinghouse in a two-hour show, but I do want to tell you, your name was Steve, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my cousin lives in Athens, Georgia, so we have people, they say there's only 7 degrees of separation. You're calling from my cousin's state.
Yeah, Athens is a lovely city. Now, the direction I was going with the questions I was asking, it's too bad your name's not on the mortgage anymore, because I think it would be an interesting thing to do take samples of the perhaps the wallpaper, the carpeting, pieces of the upholstery, the furniture, and so on, and see what kind of chemicals might be present. Because if your girlfriend was healthy and alive and she had cats, I doubt that those cats would have been lying in there dead for a long time while she was healthy and talking to you on the phone. And then if the very next day suddenly she's dead and her cats are dead too, and these phony hazmat people are using the fact that, well, they're all in there dead and bacteria are proliferating and we fear contamination from bacteria, I have a feeling there was foul play involved. If these guys are wearing hazmat suits and they may have feared that you might have swabbed some walls or something and come away with some heavy evidence of some foul play on their part.
Let me tell you, your name was Steve, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, that house was totally, I mean totally rebuilt, totally remodernized. The pool, the spa, the walls in the house, totally redone. You would never recognize it as the pictures that I took. And now there's a young couple living in there that can't believe the photos that I showed them of what that house looked like a year ago. So not only that, but I wasn't allowed to even go near the house. I couldn't even go on the property, you know. So it was what they call a sticky wicket. You want to get some very rare stuff, and I appreciate so much, Steve, you realize on a small way of what I went through. It was horrendous. I mean, my heartbeat went from 60 to about 220, and I had to take heart pills for almost 2 months just to get rid of the stress. And you lose your mother, your girlfriend, and your UFO audio tapes that were the rarest audio tapes in the world, except for whatever the government is hiding. But we I'll tell you, we had them. We had them like nobody in the world had them, and most of these were donated from radio shows all over the world, from Iceland, from Yugoslavia, which I couldn't understand. I had to have them translated, from Mexico, from Canada, from Japan, Turkey, Greece, Nevada. We got more tapes from Nevada, and I became friends with just about every single UFO expert out there, from Zachariah Sitchin, Don Ecker, you know, I could go on and on, Stan Friedman, John Lear. These people all donated to this idea that I had.
Well, I tell you, it's a possibility that your girlfriend might have died from blunt force trauma, but if the cats are all dead too, you know, that's kind of a smoking gun pointing at some really nasty underhanded goings on there. And Kevin, I want to take this time also to thank Mike from Kentucky, if he's listening. Thank you, Mike, for hooking this guy up with us and shedding some light into this dark, dark corner.
Steve, before you go, as I promised Kevin, I want you to go to YouTube. I want you to type in my name, Dave, a space, and Aaron. There's two other famous Dave Aarons, or infamous Dave Aarons. One's a rock and roll singer, and one's a cartoonist. I usually pop up as the first one. Go to YouTube after the show, do a Google search, Dave space Aaron, and it'll say UFO evidence collector, comma, Dave Aaron. Watch both the Fox report that went worldwide, and then right after that, there's a Strange Universe piece. Watch both of those pieces. In that Strange Universe piece, you will see a video of exactly what Bob Lazar predicted 4 years in the future. Bob Lazar came forward in 1988 and went to George Knapp at KLAS and told him he worked at an area known as S4. And he said that UFOs are practically invisible because they work off of antimatter, antigravity. And if you can bend gravity, you can also bend the light waves that gravity would repel. And on that site that I just gave you, you will see a UFO. I show three of them. You will show a UFO dematerializing, where you see right through it except for the outer rim. That is one of the greatest UFO clips ever sent to me. And the way it came was through our TV show. When I did my TV show, Video Dave's UFO Clip of the Week, between 1994 and 1996, it came in from two good old boys in your neck of the woods, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm not going to give the exact state to protect these people, but that clip still has the world mystified.
Well, Dave, I promise I will do just that. I will go to those sites and venues, but I'm here to tell you that right now you are on the most relevant site, the most relevant venue, the Kevin Smith Show, that exists right now. And I'll let it go at that.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I know that because people kept telling me. By the way, Kevin, can I ask you, is this podcast for later? Because I had people from Australia and New Zealand email me today asking what time this would be on in New Zealand and Australia, mm-hmm. And I told them 4 a.m. in the morning their time. So can they listen to this on a podcast like tomorrow?
They can if they join our members community. Our archives are in our members community, along with tons and tons of other stuff. Steve, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I believe it's $7 or something, $7 a month.
Yeah, $7.50 a month. Comes out to 25 cents
okay.
a day.
I'll let them know by email.
Yeah, and there's, you know, hundreds of shows in the archives. Also, we capture the video as well, and so this show, if they didn't get to see it, they can watch it for the next 24 hours. We post the video up for 24 hours where they can watch it in any time zone. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin, and I can't believe you'd have a rebel rouser like this on your show.
Well, why not? I answer the phone when you call, don't I?
Oh, okay, I take that back. It's good to hear you on there, Dave.
Hey, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Crystal there from Kentucky was one of our very, very first members going back to late 1986 or early 1987. I think his membership number is 22. Does that sound about right there, Mike?
No, 57.
57. Well, 57 is a long way from 183,000.
That's for sure. Yeah, Dave's got a lot of stories he could tell, Kevin. And if in the future you need somebody to bring on the show for a different topic, this man can do it for you. He's also got a repertoire of videos of some of his television shows that he's been on, and some of them are fantastically funny. Some of the shows that he's the host, the way they've treated him and everything,
mm-hmm.
I have some of those videos, and I know what went on with him, so he'd make a good person to be back again at some time.
All right.
So I'll let y'all go so somebody else can call in here.
Wait a minute. Don't hang up. Don't let Mike hang up. You still on, Mike?
Yes, I'm here.
Mike, ladies and gentlemen, and Kevin was one of those many, many people that took his time to share. Mike went out and videotaped actual cases throughout the state of Kentucky and sent me free of charge with no cost, including the postage, sent me investigations that he did and said, here, Dave, add this to your UFO clearinghouse. This is the Oscar case. This is the Phyllis case. This is the UFO that was shot in Lexington or Louisville. So besides Mike being on the line, Mike is an A++ member, and he was the one that told me to quit getting beat up and get on the Kevin Smith Show. So, Mike, I want to give you a big salute, okay?
Well, that's not necessary, David. I appreciate it anyway, and I appreciate Kevin having you on as well.
And thank you, Mike, for making that suggestion.
Mike, because you told me to quit wasting my time with these TV idiots and get on the number one UFO show, the Kevin Smith Show. I wrote to Kevin. I sent him an email. And you know, Kevin sent me back an email within 48 hours.
The way Kevin is. He's right on top of it.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. And thank you for suggesting Dave Aaron as well. Yeah, well, you know, this is a good place for me to say to everybody, you know, on the website, if you want to be on the show, you go click where it says contact, and you'll see a selection that says I want to be a guest. Click that, fill it out. We'll respond one way or the other. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith. My guest this evening is Dave Aaron, the founder of UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse. The UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse is responsible for a great many of the actual video clips you see of UFOs when you watch movies or documentaries about UFOs. So it's a pleasure and a privilege to get to talk with him this evening. Now, Dave, when we went away for break, just before we went away for break, you were talking about you have people in Australia and New Zealand and so forth that wanted to know about, you know, do we have a podcast or archives of these shows? during that break, we got a flash message from New Zealand, from Haas, I guess is how you say it, H-A-S-S. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, are you saying Haas, H-A-S-S?
Yeah. H-A-S-S, like Sam Sam.
A very famous chat line called Jim's NASA UFO site, and there's also Jim's NASA 1 million UFO, 1 million UFO experts. So we generally go on there at the Pacific time, generally between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, and answer questions from anywhere from 5 to 500 people that are online. So you can just do a Google search for best UFO internet site or Jim's NASA UFO site. It's
okay.
Incredible.
Well, let me read this flash message here. I don't know if this Haas is the same one that you're referring to, but anyway, Haas says, I'm up listening to the live show. Come on, fellow Kiwis, get some energy and be up for the show that's spot on. Thank you, Haas. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, my name's Don. Huber Heights, Ohio.
Okay, Don, you're from where?
Huber Heights, Ohio, right outside of Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, you're on the air. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question for you. I've been searching for this one video on the internet for 5 years ago that was on one of the cable channels in the mid-90s. It was taken at, a baseball game from somebody in the bleachers. It looked like a nighttime baseball game or something. And this UFO comes straight, like, over the baseball game, and it kind of, like, disappears out of the frame, and it's breathtaking. And I've searched every conceivable website, YouTube, and everything, and I was just wondering maybe somebody listening to Kevin Smith Show or your guest might know how I can find that video. And thank you, and I'll listen to your answer off the air.
All right. Thanks, Don.
There's two clips like that. One is a meteor coming in over a softball game, and there's one of two UFOs, two pretty bright circular lights, coming over the field about maybe 200 feet away. We have that. I don't know exactly where it is because it's in our older files, so I don't know which one he is referring to, whether he's referring to the two circular lights or the one that actually turned out to be a meteorite. They were both videotaped over a soccer game or a softball game.
How is it possible for you to remember all of this stuff?
Well, if you keep running UFO tapes, and you've got 4,500 UFO tapes, and you had 1,400 audio tapes, and you're running them over and over and over, almost 18 hours a day, we had 6 employees, and you're constantly hearing this, editing. You know, and I'll be 70 years old, Kevin, in October, and I've been doing this since 1986, plus my television show. I just have a good memory, but it's just to recapitulate here, it's just hearing the same thing over and over and over because we did so many sightings and so many shows for like 30, 40 years. It's just etched in my brain the same way it is when you're hungry and you know how to eat.
That's a good analogy. Excellent analogy. If you're hungry, you just know how to eat.
Sometimes I do have trouble because there's so many people in the field. Sometimes like Robert Emmenegger or Linda Mutin Howell or some of those people that are like into specials like cattle mutilations or people that were witnesses to the Roswell case, sometimes I won't be able to pull those memories out.
Okay, now that brings up something. In your clearinghouse with all these videos, do you get videos of cattle mutilation cases, or is it all just UFOs?
The only actual one I got of a mutilation was from your previous caller, Mike Hawkins. He had
Mike Crystal,
a gentleman that he interviewed. I don't remember if this was about, like I say, 10 or 15 years ago, that Mike sent one that was either, I believe Mike You can email in there to Kevin Show. I don't remember if the Oscar case, without mentioning the last name, was a horse or a cattle, but I seem to remember that. But no, I specialize in just UFO footage. And also, earlier on in the show, the stuff that came to me was on film that we changed over to video. Some of it was professional cameramen that worked for local television stations that would go in and put it on VHS for me and leave off the call letters and mail it to me. And some of it was from average citizens where the camcorder came from. So it came from many, many sources. And a lot of the audio tapes came from, not a lot, but say 10%, came from government sources.
The videotapes. Now, these you said most of these are coming from just regular people with video cameras. Not all of them, but some of them, or a lot of them. So, you know, most folks with a camera, whether you could hand them a $5,000 professional single-lens reflex camera or, you know, a $5,000 professional video camera, and you would get the same results because they don't know how to use a camera. And they, you know, it swings around and they zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. They're out of focus. And it wouldn't matter whether they had, you know, just a camera that they bought at Walmart or if they had a professional camera. And that's simply because they don't have any training with how to actually use a camera. So a lot of the videos that you have gotten have to be, I'm sure that a lot of people have sent you videos that were like just little pinpoints of light that keep dancing around all over the place because they're shaking the camera and zooming. How do you decide which ones you're going to keep and use in the clearinghouse and which ones are not usable for you?
Actually, very, very few were like that.
Really?
Less than 2%. The other ones were complete nighttime shots of various colored multi-light dish-shaped objects flying around, daylight shots. And you got to remember, Kevin, you know, we're talking to you in 2012 here in the month of June. In 1986, the camcorder was the big VHS camcorder.
Yeah.
The 8mm was just starting. And these people that had these big VHS camcorders couldn't do too much. They could zoom, and they could press record, and that was about it. You know, today we take it for granted that you can shoot with your cell phone, you can shoot with your iPad, you can shoot with a professional camera. And in those days, they had autofocus and auto zoom, and people like Disney and Paramount and Hard Copy and the Discovery Channel, the Science Channel, the History Channel would not have aired just moving pieces of light.
So now that we've got all these other gadgets and doodads, are you getting video that is as clear and as good as you were getting back then?
Fantastic, but, you know, now you can do green screen and blue screen with your computer and a camera. So, you know, you really can't trust what you're seeing on the internet. What I try to tell people that are in my age bracket or don't know history, that with over 300 million, let me repeat that, 300 million UFO sightings around the world that have been reported, and probably over 30,000 videotapes. In 1941, the OSS, which was called the Office of Strategic Service, the forerunner of our CIA, went to President Roosevelt and said that Hitler is mass murdering people in concentration camps. and making lampshades out of human skin. And the OSS said, we've got to do something about this. And President Roosevelt's staff said, oh, he wouldn't do that, would he? Now, let's move to 2012. We've got the same thing. Thousands of UFO sightings every day, videos taken every day, radio and television shows every day, yet we're having the same thing that happened in 1941, saying that Hitler is mass murdering people. Today we're hearing that UFOs are being videotaped, sighted, alien encounters, gray aliens, reptilian aliens, and we're still saying the same thing. Oh, these aren't real. It's Venus or Swampcast. So those that tend to forget the past repeat it.
That is true. And not only is it true, it's unfortunate that we have a news media in this country, at least. I can't talk about everybody else's country. In this country, we have a news media that's a sham. And they're doing everything they can to present a manufactured reality that is not real. And they laugh at what is real and ridicule what is real, not just in the UFO field, folks, in every field. It has reached a point where mainstream media is pretty much a domestic enemy of the people. But there you have it. And then they wonder why their ratings are flattened out, and they flattened out way down at the bottom. So they wonder, why is that the case? Well, for those of you who are in the news media, how about stop lying to us, stop making fun of us, stop ridiculing people, and tell the truth? That might help your ratings.
Do you know, Kevin, that there's more people on the internet at any one time than NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, CNN, Fox News Channel, and MSNBC combined at any one time?
Yes. Yes, I know. I know. And let me tell you something. I won't reveal the secret here, but I know the secret for why their internet operations have not boosted their ratings. I know exactly why. But I won't reveal that secret here. All those news organizations, they all have websites, and they stream video and they have stories up there and all that. But there is a reason, a specific reason, why that hasn't boosted their ratings. And if any one of them would like to pay me $10 million, I'll tell you. Otherwise, you just have to like your ratings. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening is Dave Aaron. Dave, we have a flash message from Puerto Rico that I would like to read and get you to respond to. This is from Raul in, I know I didn't say that right, Raul in Puerto Rico. We have some very important sightings of OVNIs here. That's UFOs. OVNIs is what much of the world calls them. Do you have some video of them? So, Dave, do you have video of Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico has had a huge flap for about the last year. There are parts of Puerto Rico that are actually like jungle, and this would be a great place for UFOs to hide. Yes, there's a massive videos that we have from Puerto Rico, and also many UFOs are seen going in and out of the water off the coast of Puerto Rico. So, yes, in fact, some of the best footage was taken in Hawaii and Puerto Rico. And also, there are many cases of ETs, or what we refer to as the Grays, sighted in a number of cases around Puerto Rico. So if you go to Google and just do a search, UFO videos in Puerto Rico, or as you say your country, Puerto Rico, you should be able to see what we posted on the internet.
What do you think the story is in Puerto Rico? Why so much activity there?
You know, Kevin, I can't answer that, why there's sightings in Nevada or why there's sightings in Texas. You know, I just don't know the answer. I'm just a simple little guy that got an idea that bloomed into, you know, something way beyond anything I even imagined. I just wanted to share UFO videos to tell these morons, if I can use the word moron on television,
that are
so close-minded that, look, here is a video of a dish-shaped craft that can change its shape, morph, and vanish before your eyes. Something must exist.
Yeah, I call them morons. It's permissible to do that. I also call them intellectual mudsuckers, mental mushrooms. I try to be politically correct when I refer to them. And to be politically correct, you have to, of course, say exactly what the case is, and they are intellectual mudsucking mental mushrooms.
You know, I have a gift for all your listeners, okay?
Okay.
So I want to make sure I get this in because time is short. My book, Secrets of UFO, Secrets from the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse, still, can you hear me okay?
Yep, we're listening.
Yes, my book, Secrets from the UFO Audio Video Clearinghouse, still won't be ready for about another 6 months. But the first 40 pages are done. And I will email those pages to any of your listeners if they'll just put Brooke Kevin Smith Show, and if they'll send that email to UYOU&AND UFOs and the number 1@hotmail.com, or, because you have so many listeners, video waiting, not call waiting, but video waiting at AOL.com. I will send them free via the internet the first 40 pages of my book, and it goes into much, much greater detail of what happened on that February 9th, 1964 night.
Okay, well, there you go, folks. I did not know that Dave was going to offer that free gift for you, but thank you, Dave. And again, what you need to do is send him an email, and in the subject or in the body, put Book Kevin Smith Show, and he will send you the first 40 pages of his book free. That's a good deal.
As much as I've written so far, so they have everything, and they'll see when I went in the Army and was drafted into the Army. They knew in the Army that I was the guy that saw the UFO in 1964. And you'll see in those first 40 pages when NICAP, do you remember when NICAP published the UFO evidence?
Yeah.
Well, I got a copy of the UFO evidence mailed to me when I was in the service. And once that book came, I was constantly harassed by both NCOs and officers, and you'll read that in the book, with the exception of one officer that knew what was going on. So that's an exclusive only for the Kevin Smith Show. If you don't put Kevin Smith up there, I'm not going to send you those first 40 pages. So again, that is UYOU&AND UFOs and the number 1@hotmail.com, and the other one is videowaiting@AOL.com, because I know we're going to get thousands and thousands of emails from your show, Kevin.
Well, I hope you do, and I hope people will avail themselves of this opportunity to get that that free gift.
I guarantee those first 40 pages, they will really say, they think I'm crazy now. Wait till they read those 40 pages of of the entire story of what happened that night. There's a lot more to it, as I told you. This 2 hours, Kevin, I can't believe went by so quickly. It seems like I just answered the phone at 7:05, and here it is Pacific time, almost 9 o'clock.
It does go fast.
By the way, on the Internet, called the UFO Video Clearinghouse. That is not mine. I didn't create it, and I have nothing to do with it, but I guess someone liked the name. So if you go to that site, it's a nice, well-done site, but it has nothing to do with me, you know?
So okay.
I want to make sure that people know that, because a lot of people say that they love my site. I have no site, because like you said earlier, that it's so easy to go in. The government can listen to every phone call, every Internet, every website, every phone call, and we just had too much hot stuff to be able to put up a website.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, lots and lots of people out there across Mushroom Land do not understand that 100% of everything they say, everything they type into their computer, everything is now being monitored, and they are in fact being spied upon. And
yeah, we'll have to do a show sometime, Kevin, in the future, of how the State Department contacted me back on October 17th, a number of years ago, which I have never revealed to anybody, including Mike in Kentucky, that will make another hair on Howard Stern's hair stand up on end. And they wanted to know what this, quote, business was with this UFO clearinghouse. We need to know. How much do I have, Kevin?
Well, actually, we're out of time. But we will have you back to talk about that.
Be my pleasure, Kevin, and thank you very much for the time you've given me.
Outstanding. If you will, stay on the telephone with me for a moment as I bring tonight's show in for a landing. Folks, Dave Aaron, I know that's information that 99% of you didn't have, and I appreciate him for coming and sharing that with us. Many of the video clips that you see of actual UFOs on documentaries and movies and even newscasts, many of those, Dave Aaron is the source from which they get those, and they are real UFO videos. The UFO video, the UFO audio video clearinghouse, Dave Aaron. Be sure you avail yourself of that opportunity to get that free book, and be sure, or the first 40 pages of that book, and be sure you avail yourself of the opportunity to get your ticket for the Alternative Universe Conference. It's coming up. Get your ticket right now. It is time for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.